that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we invite you to join us as we visit two different art galleries in Chico. At A Beautiful Life Gallery, we talk with watercolor artist Candy Matthews about her detailed paintings of flowers and plants and birds from her own backyard. Her paintings are on display at A Beautiful Life through August, and you can meet the artist herself at an opening reception tonight. We'll also be visiting the Snidel Gallery in downtown Chico. It's a venue that's been showing fine art for decades, but this December, it'll be closing its doors for the final time. We'll talk with owner James Snidel about wrapping up his career as a gallery owner to devote himself to creating his own art. And we'll talk to Snidel's business partner, Dean Wilson, about devoting himself to art restoration and display. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
After this weekend, the jury's out at Riverfront Playhouse in Reading. Riverfront's production of the tense drama about a jury's deliberation, 12 Angry Men, has its final two performances, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. Tomorrow, at Reading's Civic Auditorium, The Brit Floyd Show, widely regarded as the world's best Pink Floyd tribute band, complete with a million-dollar light show, lasers, inflatables, and theatrics, this may be as close as you'll come to experiencing a live Pink Floyd show. Prepare to have your mind bent starting at 8 o'clock. The Orland Art Center hosts the exhibit The American West, A Way of Life. Tracy Libby displays her Western-themed fine art photographs. Gallery hours 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Tonight, the Secret Society Handshake invites you to join their club at Chico's downtown plaza with some funk and soul dance music beginning at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, on stage at Sierra Nevada's Big Room, the Dry Deutsch Amigos, featuring local favorites Maurice Big Mo Huffman, Volker Striffler, and Martin Gershwitz. Yeah! These three German friends deliver a night of blues rock and roll beginning at 7:30. At Chico's MALCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, an exhibit titled Persistence, works by 60 Northern California women artists. Museum hours, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., Thursday through Sunday. That's the calendar for this week. One of the wisest and most loving human beings on this earth of ours, the Dalai Lama, has a birthday today. Love and compassion, he reminds us, are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. Thank you.
This is Dolores Mitchell. Today, I'm speaking with watercolor artist Candy Matthews, who has an exhibition.
We're calling it Backyard Beauties because it's full of nature from my backyard, and it's going to be at a Beautiful Life Furnishings, which is downtown Chico at 250 East 1st Street. My paintings will be there, and I'm excited about showing them. I've been concentrating so diligently on my backyard because we have a wonderful garden, which my husband has allowed me to share with him. He wants to grow vegetables, and I grow flowers. I've been painting my flowers and his vegetables. It's a good combination. We're both happy with that.
You've also been painting birds, which has been a favorite subject of yours for many years.
They are backyard birds. We are living close to Bidwell Park, so we get all kinds of nature in our garden. We have beautiful hummingbirds, finches, normally the yellow finches, but we also have a wonderful finch called a house finch, pink and brown. It's beautiful. Every once in a while, we get to see those. We have, of course, robins everywhere and bluebirds. I love all of them. I love their different sounds. We have doves that are hooting all the time. We really are exposed to a lot of bird nature. I got interested in painting birds when the Snow Goose Festival first started through Avenue 9 Gallery. Maria Phillips talked me into it. I decided I'd try, and ever since then I'm hooked. Birds with their gorgeous colors, their beautiful music, they really get to me.
You also bring out very distinct characters in those birds, personalities.
There's something that's so delightful about a hummingbird. It is always so excited about the colors, and it buzzes right by you. It feels like it's going to take your ear off to get to where it's going, to wherever the food is. I have a hanger with sugar water, but we also have wonderful Mexican sage and other flowers that they're just so excited about. Just to look at the way they lift their little heads and the color starts to shine out of their necks, you wouldn't even know that was there until they moved a certain way, and I love watching those. We also like to see the finches on our feeder. Sometimes we have 20 hanging on the same little feeder trying to get to the seeds that we get for them. Their bright yellow is so happy. I love them.
You bring out that exuberance in your paintings. They're very happy paintings. They're full of life and full of such acute observations of birds.
I was lucky enough to take a class with Eva Farley. She worked on teaching us how to paint animal and bird eyes and getting the real life in them. That's a trick I didn't know that much about. The class really helped me know the secret to their soul is in their little eyes. If you get the eyes right, all of a sudden you have a bird personality.
Your exhibit is a great opportunity for the many listeners who have dabbled in watercolor but would like to know more about it.
I've been lucky. I had Helen Hanna as a teacher years ago. She said that if you paint with watercolor every day, you will learn how to do it. Of course, classes sure do help, and that got me started, but I was intrigued with the medium. There's something so ethereal, elusive. There are all kinds of words I could say to describe watercolor, but it intrigues me and makes me happy when it turns out right. I've been lucky because I'm a drawer, and I always feel like if my drawing's good, my painting's going to turn out. And now I've learned tricks on how to fix things. So I think the secret is to paint every day and see what you can learn with that paint and that water. It's a long process, but it's so worthwhile in the end.
Retirement. What's that been like for you?
At first I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And then I realized, oh, I have all this watercolor paper and I have this watercolor tray and I'm ready. And so it's been amazing. I've been painting basically a painting a day. I am in my kitchen with all the light coming in, my music going. In the winter, my wood stove is burning. It's just such a perfect spot for me. I get so excited that I have to finish it. So it does take me a whole full day. And then I'll hang up the painting in my kitchen and look at it and look at it and look at it, and then I'll fix whatever needs to be fixed. I'm pretty fast now because I've done it so long, but I do think I'm getting better as I get older.
Candy, we're looking right now at a watercolor amaryllis.
Well, first of all, this amaryllis I had gotten as a Christmas gift, and it never bloomed. So I put it in a pot and left it outside on my porch. All of a sudden, one day, a month ago, I saw this amazing flower that was ready to explode, and explode it did. There must have been 8 blossoms on this one amaryllis plant. So I thought, oh my gosh, I have to capture that. I was so excited. I took pictures of it on my phone, went in my kitchen, got my work table ready, and started drawing. I decided to do a large painting of it because it was so magnificent. What I first do is I do my drawing, and then I do a wash over the whole painting. And then if there's going to be places that are white, I'd wipe those out and leave them and let it dry. And so I've got something going on, but not really yet. And then I can start working on the actual painting. I usually do the subject first and then do the background. And my backgrounds I'm pretty well known for, because I usually do a dark square of color behind my subject. It's like maybe from 6 to 12 layers of different colors of paint to get the color and the contrast that I want. I was really pleased with this one. It turned out just exactly the way I wanted it to, and it really delineates the whiteness of this beautiful amaryllis.
I think that's one of the things a viewer who comes to the show and sees the original gets as a gift. Being able to see the depths of all of those layers, something that you really can't see in a reproduction.
I don't like the real washy, wishy-washy kind of watercolor. I like it deep and thick, and it's like I'm trying to almost make it into an oil painting, which it is not, of course. But I just like more texture, and that's why I do them that way.
People have very definite ideas of what a watercolor should look like, but in fact, watercolor has infinite variety to it.
It certainly does. Sometimes if you want to make something look mysterious and misty, you can do light washes and do beautiful clouds and do softness. I, however, like things a little stronger, and that's just the way I paint. I'm sure a lot of people would disapprove, but it's all relative. My art teacher tried to get me to do backgrounds. I always hated backgrounds. I didn't like stuff going on in the background, you know, like twigs and bushes and houses. And I just wanted the subject right there alone.
Well, you know, the kind of art that does that typically is religious art.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like in my heart, I'm a very spiritual person. It's important to me. It gives me a certain sense of peace and a certain sense of joy in life and a happiness. So I think you're right.
They're like icons.
Yes, they are like icons. And that's really nice, Dolores. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let's give a rundown once more on the location.
A Beautiful Life Furnishings. It's downtown Chico behind Grana's parking lot. And the address is 250 East 1st Street.
Thank you so much.
See Candy Matthews' paintings anytime between now and the end of August. But tonight, you can meet the artist herself at an opening reception at the gallery. That starts in just under 2 hours at 5 o'clock and lasts till 8. Thank you. just a moment, we'll be joining Dolores at another art venue, the Snidel Gallery, across the street from the well-known Praying Hand sculpture in downtown Chico.
This is Dolores Mitchell. I'm fortunate enough to have two men who are reinventing their lives. James Snidel, who's a noted gallery director in Chico for 3 decades, and who's going to close the gallery. We're sorry to have it close, but glad for you, James, to be able to paint more. And Dean Wilson, who has established a marvelous reputation as, well, almost everything. You hang art collections, you do restoring, you do framing, but your life is going to change too. Okay, James, can you take us all the way back to the beginning of your career as a gallery director?
30 years ago or so, give or take a year, I had a studio in Chico. There really were no places to show, no places to show my work or other people's work, the fellow artists that I admired. So I started offering shows of other people's work through my studio space. Since I was mostly a plein air painter, my paintings were done outside on location, and they were brought to this little tiny room behind the gallery space where I would tighten up my works and finish them. The entire front of the space was on Main Street, across the street from the health food store in Chico. And it was very well received. I mostly showed former teachers at Chico State or fellow artists that I admired. Well, that was the beginning, 30-some years ago. Basically, after 3 decades, my interests are in simplifying my life. I haven't lived in Chico for over 15 years, so I've done a lot of commuting.
Commuting from San Francisco.
Correct, yeah. The last 15 years, I've come up once a month to participate with the gallery shows and be available for appraisal works and consignments, paintings that I've taken on and sold nationally for clients. You know, ironically, when I first got out of school, I commuted from Chico to San Francisco for the first 15 years doing business. I wanted to live in San Francisco before I was too old to enjoy it, frankly. So I managed to do that, and another 15 years has gone very, very quickly. Now my interest is to paint again more seriously for myself. Simplifying my life, so it means after 30 years to just let go of the gallery.
You also have a marvelous background in ceramics and had studied ceramics and have been very supportive of ceramics.
I have a love for ceramic art. I have a fairly large collection of ceramic art pieces that I started, from graduate days to the present day. Which brings me to an interesting point. You know, when you collect stuff for 40 years, like I have, I've overdone it. I have so many pieces of art. You know, I basically never had a lot of money. And part of it was because I bought art all the time. It's not really a problem, except now that I'm closing the gallery, there's a few hundred pieces, if not a few thousand pieces. of art that I've amassed. I am in the process of taking what I really want to keep and giving a lot of it away to some organizations in Chico, and also selling. There's a lot to choose from right now. Our plans are basically to do shows through the end of this year. That'll be our closing, December of this year.
Dean, tell me how you got into the multitask business of exhibiting art, restoring and framing it and hanging it. How did that happen? Was it a gradual accumulation of skills?
Yes, certainly it was. Following under the leadership of others and seeing how some of the techniques were done, and then taking it on into my own realm. There's a lot of excitement about getting to restore a painting that has, through the years, survived with the family from one generation to the next. They may be, the person that owns it at the time, no longer has seen it, and when it was actually clean and bright, and bring it in. I've had the pleasure of seeing where some people even have a photograph of the painting, maybe with the grandparents, and the painting's hanging on the wall, and I've been able to restore things, clean them.
Have there been any hopeless cases?
No, glad to say, at this point, not yet. I'm not looking forward to that ever having to be. It's a challenge, and sometimes you have the opportunity to work with the same artist's work. Maybe one family has quite a large piece of that artist's work, and so you are working with the same artists, but you realize that there's a new challenge each time because maybe they've used a different material, or it's been in a separate and a different environment so that the paint is reacting where it might be peeling and you need to reattach it to the painting. Some people have brought in perfectly beautiful paintings that maybe just accidentally had a hole stuck through it, and I'm able to patch that and repair it. Many times they'll ask, where was the hole? It's a rewarding job. I've been enjoying doing it, and it's been about 10 years now that I've been doing it. It's becoming more and more the amount of the jobs that I'm doing are more and more the art restoration, conservation, and what is enjoyable is to share with the clients the understanding that I get of what has gone into making the painting and what the materials are and the application. And then they go home and they look at some of their other collection and realize they have more things to bring back and we will restore. The client no longer is a client, they become a friend because you've built up a rapport and you're sending something back that they're proud of, they're taking on through their, can hand on to their next generation.
Are there any particular materials or techniques that pose particular problems?
Well, the most difficult in my mind in restoration would be the paperborne arts such as watercolor. And that's just the inherent nature. With a paperborne ink print, I can soak and restore them back to their original shape because it's an oil-based ink. But with watercolors, you're sort of stuck with some of that. You can work in on top in some cases. Every once in a while, you'll get a painting that is so badly damaged and so much paint loss that you almost jokingly, after you've restored it and done the in painting, jokingly tell the client that you're going to need to sign it along with the original artist because so much of the work is yours at that point. Watercolors, that and pastels are the two most difficult to restore just because of the medium.
And tell me a little bit about how you hang a collection.
That depends on the clients, and sometimes it's very beneficial just to go to the client's home to see, even if they're bringing in a piece that they'd like me to frame, if I have the opportunity to get to know the client or their style, their taste, it gives me a much better understanding of where their interest is. And some clients that we've built up a rapport with, they just say, I like what you do, and they stand back and watch. Others, they have their own idea of how they would like what to be hung where. So you just work with the client in each individual case.
If someone goes up into their attic and finds, let's say, a painting that could be a Leonardo, can they rush down and find you?
They're more than welcome to bring that Leonardo on in. I am at 254 East 4th Street at the gallery presently, and as James and we've been discussing, at that point there will be another location, but they can always reach me at 530-354-6541. Or in this day, we so often use the emails, and that's dean.wilson with two L's at gmail.com.
All right. Go up in that attic and take a look. James, looking back, was it a good decision to open a gallery in a small town, relatively small town, Chico?
No. Absolutely not.
It was a labor of love.
It was total labor of love. I find it amusing when Avenue 9, when they opened, I was so relieved that somebody else was doing it. Honestly, I did not feel that it was a threat. I felt that it was a wonderful relief that other people were providing a place for people to show.
Well, you're going to be terribly missed as a gallery, but are you pleased with the future that you see for yourself?
I'm going to continue to do appraisals and brokering of paintings for the next 4 or 5 years before I really retire. So I'm half-timing it, you know.
But you're anxious to get back to making art.
I am, yeah. When you represent other people, you know, I have sacrificed a little bit of myself. You know, it takes a lot of energy to promote other people and to show other people and let them be the star, you know, even if it's just for a couple months. It's been an incredible journey, and I look forward to painting again, more seriously.
Well, I want to thank both of you for your long service to the Chico art world. Thank you.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you miss this show at its regular broadcast time, you can always listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.